Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Life in General podcast. My name is Nick.
My name is Ian, not whispered.
No whispering from Ian today.
No.
So I'm going to whisper in a really creepy kind of way.
Everything you do is creepy.
No, it's not.
No, you're right. Is it whispering really, is kind of creepy.
I mean, when I'm peeking through your window in the middle of the night, is that really creepy?
It depends. Like,
it depends on what I'm doing with my other hand.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I did catch you licking your lips a couple times. Oh. That was a little creepy, you know.
When I give you the
yeah, when
you wink at you.
When you start trying to, like, direct my movements, yeah.
Do my moon dance.
God, that's terrible.
In the nude. A minute into the show and it's completely off the rails.
Yeah. Wow. I don't even want to listen anymore.
It's late. What do you
yeah,
expect?
We're later than we normally. We're recording at a later time than we normally do. And I don't think either one of us got really decent sleep today either.
Yeah, not too much.
I slept for about 4.5 hours. I think you probably got about the same. Unless you took a nap after.
No, I think I don't know, I went to bed probably like 4:30 this morning. Because I've been like in this Sopranos kick ever since the Many Saints of Newark came out, which is a fantastic fucking movie if you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
And I'm a big Sopranos fan. Yeah. I always have been, which is funny. Like I after watching the movie, I've gone back to like watch the series. Mm-hmm. And going back to the series, I don't think I ever watched season two.
Really?
Like, I watched season one when it was on, and then I didn't get, that was in the, around the time, so season one came out, what, 98? I was living at home, and I watched it, and then when season two came out, we had moved into the apartment.
Right.
We didn't have HBO, because we were fucking poor as shit then, yeah. And then,
some of us still are.
Neither one of us are, Ian.
No, not by those standards.
No. And then I got HBO when season three came out, but I never bought season two to go back and rewatch it. Mm-hmm. I know you had it on DVD.
I only had season one.
No, I had season one. You bought season two.
Oh.
Yeah, because I still have season one. Oh. It was the only season of Sopranos I ever bought.
Yeah, well, I only bought the one. I thought it was season one.
No, you bought season two because that was the season where they killed Big Pussy at the end.
Right. And I know that, but I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah. What?
I do. Yeah, I do. I remember now. So I must have watched season two because I do remember that. Yeah.
Because I never watched them kill. So, spoiler alert for a TV show that came out 20 fucking years ago, 22 years ago, well, 21 years ago, I think, was because season two was 99. So, yeah, the end of season two. It comes to find out that, you know, Pussy has been he's been an FBI informant for several years at this point. And Tony and it's Tony, Paulie, and Silvio take Pussy out on this boat and, you know, break the news to him that they all know. And they all take a drink and then they kill Pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never actually seen that episode until just recently.
Hmm.
Like, I knew he was dead.
Right.
Because obviously the whole rest of the show
plays around with that.
Plays around. You know, they mentioned it several times. They mentioned his death. Yeah. And I knew they killed him on the boat and whatever. And they dumped him in the water because they actually showed that.
I was going to say they recap it at the beginning of season three.
Well, they actually several times throughout the series they replay that scene.
Because doesn't that weigh on? Isn't that part of Tony's like depression?
Part of it, like, well, yes and no. I don't think Tony ever really had depression about anyone he fucking killed.
It's more just the pressure of the job.
Yeah, the pressure of being lone. It's, you know, lonely at the top, basically.
Yeah, comes off as whiny now.
And the funny thing is, like, so I've been binge watching Sopranos, and so that's why I didn't go to bed till 4:30 this morning because I got home at like 3:40, around 3:40 is when I got home, and I sat there and watched, finished one episode, started watching another one, so it was like 4:45 or so when I went to bed. But anyway, I going through the series, I've only got two episodes left, and like going into the last season of the Sopranos, it's really, Tony is this, like, he's a character that's easy to relate to. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff he goes through. And then the last season, so season 6B,
right,
should have been season 7, whatever. He's a very different character. Because, and he turns into somebody who, you almost are okay with him dying at the end of the series.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Because we watched it. I mean, yeah. we all, it was kind of our Sunday thing. Mm-hmm. For a long time. And I remember there just being like, yeah, like he totally just embraced,
well,
the darker side, yeah, of that, so position.
Through the season, prior to this, Tony's always gambled.
Right.
But in season 6B, his gambling takes a whole new level. He's now losing like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, there's one where he's...
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I actually don't think I watched all of that. I think I just watched the last episode with you guys.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Because you worked a lot.
Yeah.
On weekends. So right. You probably missed a lot of those episodes. Right. Yeah. So throughout the last season, he's at like at a casino, because they're really close to Atlantic City.
Right.
So they're in Atlantic City, and then, you know, he's walking through, and he's, like, losing bets constantly. You know, for, like, it seems like months on end, he's losing bets. And he's, like, walking through a casino where he just won a bunch of money. Walking through a casino, he sees a horse race that's getting ready to happen, and one of the horses is named, it's got Meadow in the name somehow. So he bets $100,000 on this fucking horse and loses.
Right.
And like, he's just constantly, so he's borrowing money from other people to kind of cover his bets. And it kind of takes this whole like kind of twisted, this whole kind of twist where he just becomes this really ugly kind of person. Like, his wife had built the spec house and was actually going to make like several $100,000 off the sale of the home. So Tony is like trying to muscle her into taking half of the money to bet on the Jets that weekend. He's trying to force her into place his bet. And finally she's like, no, this whole house project was my project.
Right.
So he like attacks her. And,
he never did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Season.
And I know I didn't see
that.
It's
the first time he ever like physically like went right after her. And so, like I say, he kind of turns into this almost monster kind of character. And then you saw the episode where he kills Christopher, because they go make it.
No, now that you mentioned it, I didn't. I knew he died, but I did not know.
I will say that Christopher Moltisanti is my favorite character in the series. And that's why I was really kind of.
Also known as Spider in Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yeah. But he'll always be Christopher. But anyway, that's why I thought it was really cool, because the Many Saints of Newark, Christopher does the like the voiceover.
Oh, okay.
Through the movie. So that's kind of cool. That's like a cool connection.
I knew he was back for something. I assumed it was something similar to that.
So yeah, no, him and Tony and Christopher go to meet, trying to settle a disagreement with a New York family. Mm. And on the way back, so Christopher had battled drug addiction.
Yeah, I remember
throughout
that.
The whole series. Yeah. And he had been clean and sober for a while, and actually kind of distanced himself from Tony, from being at the strip club all the time, just being around alcohol and drugs and all that kind of stuff. And he had married, had a child after, of course, they killed Adriana. But,
right, right.
And
well, she was an informant too.
She was. And so Chris had started getting high again and was high and ended up wrecking the car. They rolled down this hill and Tony is injured, but Christopher is injured quite a bit because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So he's got like crush injuries to his chest and he's like coughing up blood. And he tells Tony that he asked Tony to help him because Christopher knows he won't pass a drug test. So Tony gets out of the car, walks over and just like smothers Christopher and kills him.
Mm.
And that was another thing. And like, and it kind of like furthered this like dark twist of Tony's character, because
that's like a murder he probably didn't feel good about.
No, he did. He said he felt relieved. He was talking to his therapist, talking about, that's kind of how the whole series started, was Tony was having these panic attacks.
Right, right.
Secretly goes to see a therapist to try to help him, work through all this stuff. And that's kind of like an underlying theme through the whole series. So he's talking to her about his death, and he's like, I don't feel bad about it. It was, I, I, because he talks about having to put on this front that he's sad all, you know, in front of the other family members because he knows they're really hurting, but he's relieved because Christopher had turned into this person that Tony saw as a liability.
Hmm.
Because
of the drug use?
Because the drug use.
Even though Tony's become a huge liability to himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah, I'm like I said, I got two episodes left. I mean, obviously I know how
it ends. We know
how
it ends, yeah. Yeah, I know for sure now that I did not see, at least I didn't see that episode. I actually, now that I think about it, I think I only watched the very last episode. Yeah. I remember watching that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's definitely a good series to go back and watch. Mm-hmm. It's because it's not terribly long. The seasons are only like 13 episodes long. Right. So it's not something that like really takes dedication, something you're going to spend 8 months watching all, you know.
Well, it's still 13 hours a season.
Yeah.
No.
There's only, and not all of them are, because season 6A, I think, is only 11 or 12 episodes. And then season 6B is only 9 episodes. Right. So it's, I don't know. I remember a lot of people were really mad about the way The Sopranos ended. Because it kind of cuts to black.
Right. But that's how it would, because the show has always been through Tony's perspective.
Yeah.
So when Tony dies, the perspective's gone.
Yeah. Well,
and that's how I saw it. That's how I always saw it.
I didn't see it until I like binge watched the series, where, and it didn't happen until season 6B, is there's a lot of like death tones to the last season, right, where it's like,
you know what's coming.
You know what's coming. Feel it's coming. Yeah, right? Absolutely. And I didn't see it at the time, but now going back and rewatching it, it's such, you know, episode after episode, you really see kind of the overarching theme of where it was all going, because it had to. That's the only way that series could end, was with Tony dying. Now the question is it just Tony that dies, or is it the entire family that dies?
Right. Because, well, Meadow got up and went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So even if you know,
well, I thought she was back at the table though, when, because I thought the way it happened, like Edie Falco turned and looked at the door.
Well, I think Meadow was coming out of the bathroom, and then because he looks at her, and then he looks at someone else, and you can see it in his eyes that he realizes. I don't know if he sees a reflection or something.
I don't remember. Because I have not.
But there's a slight
the end of the series since that.
You have to tell me once you watch it. But if memory serves, there was a slight realization in his eyes that something is about to happen, and then it just goes out.
Ian hits the mic.
Yeah, I hit the mic. But Meadow, I think, is just coming out of the bathroom, so she's at the very least in a safer area than, you know.
Because that's kind of the conversation I've always. I think I just had this conversation with Mandy about it just recently too. It's like, because Mandy's thought is that it's just Tony that dies. Where I kind of think that if you are, you know,
you're going to take out the boss.
You're going to take out all of them.
Yeah.
You're going to kill Meadow. You're going to definitely kill AJ.
AJ, yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on who's doing the killing. Because do we know who kills him?
It had to have been Phil Leotardo. Because he is the head of the other family at that time.
So
him and Tony had a huge fight, falling out.
So who would be the next in line from Tony?
That's a good question. Because when Tony was shot by Junior in episode 5, I think that was. Yeah, I think it was season 5. Because Junior is going, obviously,
he's losing his mind.
He's in, like, he's confused at the very least. Thinks Tony is someone else, takes the gun, shoots Tony in the stomach. Tony should have died, but he ends up living. But, I forgot where I was going with that.
Just who would take over if Tony had died.
Oh, yeah. So Tony's in the hospital for, like, months, and Silvio takes over the family.
Right.
And he ends up in the hospital also, because it's such a huge drain on him physically, having to be that person in charge of the family.
Right.
And he said that he even talked about at one point he's talking to his wife about it because his wife is encouraging him to, you know, step up and be, because at this point they didn't know if Tony was going to live or not. So she's encouraging him to kind of step up and fill the role and take over the family. And Silvio talks about how before when Jackie Aprile died, was it Jackie? He was the boss before the...
I don't remember.
Junior, right?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Because it was Ralph. Was it Ralph or Jackie? Whatever. Whoever the Aprile was that was running the family first.
It wasn't Ralph.
It was Jackie, though.
Yeah, it was Jackie.
Yeah, it was. Because
he's the one who died of the heart attack in the toilet, right?
No. Jackie died of cancer at the very beginning of the series.
Oh, okay. Who's the one who died of a heart attack on the toilet?
Elvis.
Well, yeah, him too. No, one of them died on the toilet.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember. But, I think it was Ralph's brother or something.
No. But so Jackie Aprile was around the family. He ended up dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. And so in this episode, Silvio's talking to his wife about how there was kind of a push for Silvio to kind of step up and be the boss of the family, but he didn't want it. And that's why
Tony got it.
Well, Tony didn't get it. Junior.
But Junior's.
Yeah. Junior was always Tony wanted Junior to be the head of the family to take the heat off of Tony. Mm-hmm. But Tony was going to run the family
behind the scenes. Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And then Junior goes to jail in the third season. Yeah. Because then he's out on house arrest. And that's why he ends up shooting Tony. And that whole situation happens. Mm-hmm. But,
well, the only reason I ask is because if that's the case, if you think you need to take out everybody, you don't just take out Tony's wife and kids. You have to take out the whole organization.
I don't know.
Because otherwise, they're still going to come after you. I mean, they're obligated if that's the case. Sylvia would be obligated to retaliate in some way.
Yeah, but Tony even said it in, I don't remember if it was season 6A or season 6B. At some point later in the series, Tony even talks about, because for life me, I'm forgetting the name of the guy that was running the New York family. But he goes to prison, and then Phil Leotardo takes over that family. But Tony even makes a reference to, like, the New York family was so much bigger, and that the New Jersey, Tony's family, was outgunned, mm-hmm. you know, and really couldn't stand to be in a gang war with that family. So if you're the head of that family, yeah, you can take out Tony.
There'd be no reason to take out the kids then.
At that point, like, let's see, Christopher's dead. Bobby's dead because Bobby dies in the second to last episode.
Okay.
The next episode I watch is the episode that Bobby dies in. So they're gone. So who's really left? It's just Silvio.
Paulie,
that's it.
Paulie, wasn't he sick too? Didn't he have like cancer or something?
He did, but I think
he beat it.
Okay. Yeah. So it really wasn't this like
that's what big I mean, organization. Well, that's the reason I was asking. Because I mean, if AJ was destined to take over, maybe I could see taking him out.
But AJ at this point was in his like early 20s, right around the same time that Tony was, when Tony stepped up and kind of became who he was.
Yeah, but AJ was, Tony was raised differently than AJ.
Oh, absolutely.
Was,
absolutely.
You know, having
Johnny as a father, especially now going back and watching The Many Saints in New York, you get this idea of who Johnny Soprano was.
Right.
And it's kind of cool too, watching that movie, because there's like, what's his name? I remember the guy's name, but he plays Junior in The Many Saints in New York. But he does a great job with that role. You kind of get an idea who Junior was back at that time too.
I seem to remember liking Junior, at least in season one. Because I don't think he was completely out of it at that point. I mean, he still had.
I think like the late part of season one
is when he starts to show it.
Well, that's when he like conspires with Livia to kill
Tony. Right. But I still remember kind of liking Junior for some reason early on.
For a while, I think he was a likable enough character.
Right. But he had the control over things. At least it seemed like he did. But
he tried. Yeah. But there was definitely like a power struggle between the two of them. Mm-hmm. I was trying to see who
Is there going to be more movies of this, you think?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had to, David Chase isn't going to give up. He signed a 5-year deal
with HBO. Yeah.
Now, granted, that 5-year deal
does not mean Sopranos.
Does not mean Sopranos. David Chase has done lots of other things, but I would assume.
I mean, maybe turn it into a trilogy or something. You know,
I would think they would do a TV series over another movie.
You think?
Yes.
I mean, how much time do we have? Like,
what's Michael Gandolfini really doing other than this? I will tell you, he did a fucking fantastic job.
I've heard he did a good job.
And the guy that played...
I'm not so concerned about the characters or the actors. I'm like thinking more in terms of, you know, repeating yourself. The movie was a good idea, and maybe a trilogy would be a good idea, but I don't know about a series. Because you're also looking at how much time... I'm assuming that Many Saints in New York is the 70s, correct?
Yeah.
So late 70s? Early 70s?
Early-ish 70s.
Okay. So it just benefit of the doubt, we'll say like 75, and The Sopranos starts in like 98. So there's a 23-year gap there. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of play there in terms of story. But how many stories can you get out of that without accidentally doing something that contradicts something that comes later? It's the same problem you run into with Star Wars and Star Trek.
I don't think
when you do a prequel thing, it's dangerous.
The difference is with this, David Chase runs all of it.
Right.
So David Chase, I don't think, would do anything that's going to
contradict. George Lucas ran everything, too. He still made mistakes.
Yeah, but I think with Star Wars, though, there's a lot of stuff that isn't really, like, talked about on screen.
Right.
But is talked about in, like, novels, expanded universe, and things like that. There's not that with The Sopranos. And, like I said,
There's also just the idea that you're just treading on, you know. I kind of feel the same way about House of the Dragon with Game of Thrones. It's like,
there's a lot of different ways they can go with it.
There is, but are they going to?
We're going to find out. But I think there's a lot of different directions they could go with some kind of Soprano series. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a 7-season thing.
No. I don't get me wrong. I like the idea of doing things in a series, even if it's a short, like mini 6-episode type series,
yeah,
or you know, seasons, doing 6-episode seasons,
yeah,
I'm okay with that as long as the story is tight and good. I just think they'd be better off maybe just doing like, so they did say it's 75, now do an 85 or an early 80s and then do an early 90s.
Yeah, the problem is with that, like, Michael Gandolfini is going to be playing Tony.
Right. So the closer you get to the time frame, he has to be closer in age.
And I guess there was talk about that because I was listening to a podcast because the guy that played AJ and Jamie Lynn Sigler do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Pajama Pants. It's not
Sopranos related.
Sopranos related. But
that's funny that they still hang out.
Yeah. And they just recently did a podcast episode about The Sopranos. When The Many Saints in New York came out, they had Michael Imperioli was on there also.
Yeah.
And he was even talking about when the series was wrapping up, there was talk even then of doing a prequel series. And like they all kind of laughed about it. Like, well, what are you going to do? Put us in fucking wigs and make us look younger? So that to do a prequel series, they had to go back 30 years.
Right.
To kind of do it right. And that's why I think, like, if they do anything else with the Sopranos franchise.
So maybe do a series that runs into maybe just the early 80s.
Yes. Yeah.
From where it's at.
Because that's the thing that I didn't even realize until I watched the movie. Like, going into it, I thought it was, this is kind of like the beginning of Tony Soprano. Tony Soprano is not the main character in
that
movie.
I wouldn't have expected him to be.
I didn't know that. Like, who did you think was going to be?
I would have assumed it would have been whoever was in head of, like, Junior and Tony's father would play a part in
it. The Many Saints of Newark is a Dickie Maltasante movie. Dickie Maltasante is the main character in that movie.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know the guy's name that played his character, But if he's not up for an Academy Award, it's a fucking crime, because that is, he did a fantastic fucking job with that role.
Really?
Yeah, and it's great. Yeah, that movie, that's what that movie is about. It's about Dickie Maltisanti.
So, but the Sopranos are kind of like on the side.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, because Dickie was the mentor to Tony, so right. That's where kind of Tony plays into it. Right. Yeah, you know, and there's a whole power struggle that goes, I don't want to give too much away because you haven't seen it, and there's right. probably a lot of people out there that watched right. and haven't seen it either, but definitely go and see it because...
Well, you just, if you have HBO Max, just watch it.
Yeah, absolutely, but I kind of wish I would have seen it in the theater.
Was it released in the theater?
It was released in theaters.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was strictly HBO Max.
No, it was in theaters also. I don't know if it was, I don't remember if it was in any theaters around here, but.
Right, yeah, I like I said, I had no idea. I got no impression that it was.
And the movie also kind of gives you a little bit of a different idea of Junior also. But it kind of, the cool thing is they like incorporated so many different things. In the Sopranos series, there's a flashback, I think it's early on in the series, about, because Tony was at therapy, you know, talking to his therapist about things that happened when he was growing up.
Right.
And Tony kind of remembers or talks about this instance where there, over a couple of weeks span, his dad kept taking Janice to and disappear for the day. And Tony wasn't allowed to go with him. It was only the two of them. And finally, after several weeks, Tony hides in the trunk of the car, and they pull up and stop in front of this carnival and get out. Mm-hmm. And they're in this carnival, and Tony gets out of the back and he's like, you know, oh my God, I can't believe my dad is taking my sister and not taking me. Well, what they were doing is it was a front that all the dads were bringing their daughters to this carnival, and then they were having like a mob meeting.
Mm.
So that's kind of touched on in the Sopranos series, and then it's brought up kind of again in the movie also. So it's like, it's cool, and that's why I think it's great.
All those little details.
Those little details, you know, that really probably only David Chase would think to kind of connect, right. use that kind of connective tissue between the series and the movie.
Well, I get it, because I'm not a big mob movie guy, but. I can make parallels because I do enjoy.
I love mob movies.
I know. And I do it. I did enjoy The Sopranos. As far as I'm concerned, mob movies kind of begin and end with the Godfather series and Goodfellas. And, you know.
I don't know about the Godfather series. Godfather 1 and 2 for sure.
Eh, I'm an apologist. I don't have a problem with the third movie. But I see the parallels in terms of storytelling to kind of what is being done with Star Wars now with the TV shows. Specifically with The Mandalorian and things coming out.
Yeah.
So where, little details, little things that are being pulled out and you're going, oh, that connects to that. And that, you know, so, and Marvel's been doing that too, not to segue into our topic.
We're supposed to talk about Marvel now that we're 30 minutes into this episode.
I mean, Marvel's been doing that for the last 20 years too, because has it been 20? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, 20 films, 20, not 20 years. They started in 2008.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For the last 15 years almost. So, where, you know, keeping the connection strong, but not overbearing either. It's like, it's there, and you see it, and sometimes you pick up on it, sometimes you don't. But it's all those threads are connected together. But, yeah, we were going to talk about, like, the just kind of the Disney Plus day happened, and some things were updated. So kind of seeing where Marvel's going forward.
Yeah, because I've been a big Marvel fan.
Since the beginning. Yeah.
And I will say that bringing back to Sopranos, they talked about in the podcast episode with Michael Imperioli, they talked about Marvel movies. Because and I don't remember how it even came up. I don't remember. But they asked Michael Imperioli about it. And he's like, I fucking hate it. He goes, I can't stand them damn movies. He said, if you leave the movie theater and a movie doesn't make you think, it's not a good movie to watch. He said, like, he can't stand anything Marvel. He can't stand any of the, like, Star Wars movies.
Yeah,
none of them.
He doesn't like popcorn films.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say that, arguably, those two franchises, Marvel, Star Wars, there's things to think about. There's things you're left with.
I think a lot of people, like, on the, like, acting side of it, I think it take a... this is an art form. You
right.
know, it's like,
oh, I know. They
think,
I can
they think
see
way too much. Like, instead of just, you can go it's and the just
Martin
have Scors- fun.
Wasn't it Martin Scorsese that said that that's not cinema?
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, I get it. I get what they're saying. But if it weren't for those, if it weren't for the Marvel movies, if it weren't for the popcorn films, no one would be, you it wouldn't just be those, it wouldn't be Scorsese films all day long.
No.
I mean, I think, just wouldn't. They're, the industry just would disappear. It wouldn't be, it'd be a niche industry.
I would say for a bulk of the last, you know, 12 or 13 years, the superhero movies have kind of propped up the whole industry. The movie industry.
Hollywood in general.
Yeah.
Because if it weren't for those big budget films that are bringing in the damn near $1 billion a film, Hollywood would have collapsed already.
Oh, I don't know if it would have collapsed
at least,
already.
At
it
least
would have,
in the sense
it would
that,
have needed to find a different, because that's how it's always been, though. Like, right. We went 20 plus years where it was the big budget action movie
right.
that propped up the movie.
I wouldn't
the,
have said big budget, but the action movie.
It was the action
the
movie.
The blockbuster action yes. movie, yeah. Because none of those movies were like blowing any budget records out of the water, but
no, but you know, it's always like one specific kind of movie that kind of just like I don't want to say prop up, but it becomes the dominant force in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if it wasn't Marvel or superhero movies in general, it would just be something else. It would have to be
theoretically, yeah. I mean, I don't know what it would be, but you're right. It something, but I think as a result of the superhero films, specifically the Marvel movies, I think Hollywood has had a chance to expand its potential.
Yeah,
because it is it's shown they may be popcorn movies, but like we're saying, all these little threads that they've been able to weave together over the course of 20 plus movies, and now we're talking TV series as well.
Yeah,
has never been done before.
No,
on that level ever. So, I mean, they are breaking new ground in terms of storytelling.
Yeah. But real quick, going back to, like, the overall movie industry, we have had periods where there wasn't a dominant movie style. And, like, going back and looking at it, if you go back and look at, like, the Oscar winners and things like that, for those years or those time periods, you have these, like, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm coming down on them, but there's like forced art movies.
Right.
Like, oh, well, this one has to win because it's a thinking movie. And like,
I wouldn't even go. I see what,
like
the,
going
the
back
pretentious.
And looking, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. The pretentious movies, like going back and looking at them, a lot of them I kind of think are fucking garbage. Mm.
There's a few that are not great, but there's a few that are, I think, underrated.
But I think those kind pictures. Of movies were the ones where like, okay, we don't have like the action movies aren't big right now. And let's make this great, cinematic Marvel. And
what we don't really, what we have to realize is that Hollywood has existed for 100 years plus now. And the big summer blockbuster didn't even happen until 1975.
Yeah.
So granted that was 40 years ago, almost 45 years ago, but still 45 out of 100 is still less than half of the lifespan of Hollywood in general.
Yeah.
And even that being said, there wasn't a summer blockbuster every year after that.
No.
You know, 75 may have been the first one, but there wasn't another one until, well, 77.
And then there was one, like, every year after that.
No, like, what was the one in 79? Was
I don't.
Or 80. 80 would have been Raiders, I guess.
Was it 80?
Raiders
yeah,
came
it was
out 80. In
80. Yeah.
And then Empire in 81. Oh, no, Empire in 80, Raiders in 81. Sorry, got those reversed.
Yeah.
So Empire in 80, Raiders in 81. 79, I don't think, had one, unless Close Encounters counts. Does it?
Did that come out in the summer?
I think so. Spielberg. and then what? 82 was E.T.? What was 83? What was the big blockbuster in 83? Oh, Jedi. Return of the Jedi.
So I'm going to go back and look here real quick. Let's see. 75 was Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely like the beginning of it.
What was 76? I don't think there was one in 76.
So 76, The Omen.
I wouldn't call that a blockbuster, though.
That's what they've got. Well, this says biggest summer blockbuster
right. Okay.
was Omen. And that's just like looking at domestic gross adjusted $61 million, yeah, which on a unadjusted, oh, I'm sorry, this says unadjusted domestic gross was $61 million. Unadjusted production budget was $2.8 million. So it's
a huge budget, yeah, a huge difference.
So 77 was Star Wars. 78, Grease.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess. Again, I don't.
79, The Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really classify that as a summer blockbuster.
No.
80, Empire Strikes Back.
81, Raiders.
81, yeah, Raiders of Lost Ark.
82 was E.T.
Yep. 83,
yeah,
Return of the Jedi.
Oh, right.
84 was Ghostbusters. Now it's like every year.
Right. 85, Back to the Future.
Yep. 86?
86 would have been Goonies.
Top Gun,
yep.
87? Ooh, this is kind of a sleeper. I wouldn't have thought about this.
Well, let's see. 87 would have been... not Predator?
Nope.
Blockbuster, though.
It's got a Detroit tie.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yep.
I wish
I wouldn't have thought that. 88, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Well, that was big. That was huge.
That was huge.
89 was Batman.
Definitely Batman, 89. Yeah. 90 is another huge one.
What was 90? Not Ghost.
Yeah.
Was it a Ghost?
It was Ghost.
Oh.
81?
91.
I'm sorry, 91.
91 would have been Home Alone 2?
This is a fun,
that was Christmas.
This is a fun game.
Yeah. That would have been Christmas.
1991.
What was 91? What was the blockbuster 91?
I think Guns N' Roses.
Oh, of course, Terminator 2. Yeah. Jesus.
All right, 92.
92.
It has ties to another movie from a couple years earlier.
Not Bill and Ted.
Batman Returns.
Oh, that was a blockbuster? I thought it came out at Christmas, too.
I don't know. It says,
takes place in Christmas.
It says biggest summer blockbuster.
Hmm.
Batman Returns.
93 would have been Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
94.
Ooh, I wouldn't have got this one thinking about it.
Really, 94.
Disney. The Lion King.
Oh, was that 94? Yeah. Well, that makes sense, yeah.
95? I'm going to have to edit out all these long pauses.
Yeah.
Batman Forever, 95.
I guess that makes sense, too. That was big. In retrospect, I like that movie less and less the more I think about it.
Batman Forever, was that the one with Val Kilmer?
Yeah. And Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones. There's qualities about it.
After watching that Val Kilmer documentary, I have a different feeling about that. Like, that movie was sabotaged because they wouldn't let Val Kilmer act in it.
Mm. Okay, that's fair enough. I mean, it was no criticism on Joel Schumacher because I think the studio probably had too much control. But that movie and the movie that followed were just toy commercials.
Yeah. In 1996?
I want to say it was Independence Day.
It was Independence Day.
But I couldn't remember when that came out.
It came out on 4th of July.
Well, of course it did. Back then it was.
Come on.
Yeah, you're right. Duh.
97.
Men in Black.
Yeah, 98. I always make fun of this movie. And actually, I did not see this movie.
Oh, Titanic. When was Titanic? 97?
97. Not only have I made fun of the name of this movie, I've not actually seen this movie until just recently, within the last couple of years, several years. It's got Tom Hanks.
Oh, wait. So,
World War II.
Oh, Shaving Ryan's Privates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
99's an easy one.
Is it, though? Oh, that's Titanic.
No.
Well, you said
Titanic
was 97.
1999. Come on, Ian. 1999. Fucking huge movie.
American Pie?
No.
Well, that came out in 99.
It was almost a $1 billion movie.
Phantom Menace.
Yes.
Duh.
Come on, man. 2000. Tom Cruise. Some of these are going to be hard now.
Well, 2000 and Tom Cruise would have been not Minority Report.
Nope.
And it wouldn't have been...
kind of close, but...
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible 2.
2, okay.
Yeah, Mission Impossible 2. 2001. This is an interesting one. I probably wouldn't have got this one either. Mm. 2001. It's animated.
In 2001, animated. And it's, is it Pixar?
This is what we used to call your ex-brother-in-law.
Oh, Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah, Shrek.
He does listen, you know.
Does he listen to the
podcast? I think so.
Hey, what's going on, Dave, if you're listening to the podcast? Right.
I think he does. I don't know.
2002.
See, it's getting tougher now because I was working and I was an adult, so I didn't pay as much attention. No, this is... The 80s, I was right
2002
through.
Ties to our conversation. Like, directly...
Oh, Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yep, Spider-Man. Not directly because it's not part of the MCU. It's a Marvel, but it's not MCU.
Well... It's going to be.
Maybe. They still haven't confirmed.
Multiverse.
They still haven't confirmed that yet.
It's going to be a multiverse.
They still haven't confirmed that they're back, though.
Yeah. So. 2003. Animated. Animated Disney movie.
2003 animated would have been... Not Toy Story.
Nope. It's got fish.
Oh, Nemo.
Yeah, Finding Nemo.
Yeah, I hate that movie.
The first one's not bad.
No, I don't like either one.
2004. Shrek 2.
Okay, yeah.
2005, you should get this one. It's the third one.
Right, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. 2006. Also, man, Disney's fucking cleaning up.
Good, Disney has been cleaning up for the last 30 years. I'm surprised Revenge of the Sith did that well, but anyway.
What did it do? Domestic gross adjusted for inflation... $534 million.
That's not even considered a win nowadays.
Unadjusted domestic gross $380 million.
Yeah.
On a production budget, unadjusted $113 million.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it did good.
It did all right. Because that doesn't count advertising costs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2006, Disney. Not non-animated.
Non-animated Disney. In 2006.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Depp.
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Dead Man's Chest.
That's the second one.
Yeah. 2007. Once again, now it's a Disney property.
Spider-Man 2.
3. Spider-Man 3.
But Spider-Man 2 wasn't a big summer blockbuster?
No.
Spider-Man 2 was the better of the three.
Yeah, it was. But it probably, what year did Spider-Man 2 come out? Was it 2004,
I think.
So Spider-Man was 2002, so yeah, I guess it didn't do as well as Shrek in 2004.
Mm, interesting. So yeah, now 2008?
Yeah, 2007 was Spider-Man 3. 2008, DC.
Oh, that would have been Dark Knight, yeah. Yeah, Batman Begins wouldn't have been on there from 2006 or 5, but yeah.
We kind of go off the rails a little bit with 2009.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't have got this one either. I don't think I've seen this. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh, that was the second one.
Yeah. I think I've only seen the first one. I don't even know if I've seen all of the first one.
I've seen all of the first one, and the first one I've watched a couple times. I've only seen bits and pieces of the second one.
2010, we've got Toy Story 3.
Yep.
2011. Oh, that should be an easy one to get to. 2011.
Would have been, was it a Marvel movie?
No, it was not a Marvel movie. It was based off of a book.
Well, that doesn't help.
It's got a little bit of magic to it.
Oh, Deathly Hallows.
Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Yeah.
Then finally
that's Avengers. 2012 is Avengers.
Definitely Avengers.
For sure.
2013.
Well, Captain America.
No, Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3, okay.
2014.
That's Captain America.
So. No, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, really? Does Captain America win at all, even though
no.
His movies are some of the better ones in the series?
Yeah.
Especially Civil War and Winter Soldier. Well, I guess it's
2015 was Jurassic World, which mm-hmm.
I never even liked Jurassic Park.
I liked them for what they were. I never thought they were like fantastic movies.
Mm-hmm. And Jurassic World is, I hated it. I watched in the video store. I hated it.
2016 was Finding Dory, which I never saw.
Yeah.
2017 was Wonder Woman.
Really? That was the big one for 2017.
Yeah. 2018 was
Infinity War.
Incredibles 2.
Really?
Yeah. That's surprising.
Endgame was 2019, I hope.
This must have, this article came out in 2019.
Oh, okay.
So this says 2019 so far was Aladdin.
The Endgame beat that.
Oh, absolutely. When did this article come out? When in 2019? June 2019.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah.
So 2019 is definitely Endgame. It fucking shattered every fucking record known to man.
No, it's still not the highest grossing movie of all time.
No.
So it
came pretty damn close.
Yeah, but that, you know. So by that standard, it's not, it didn't break every record known to man.
How close did it fucking come?
That's what she asked.
Highest grossing movies of all time. Avatar has Endgame beat by, do some math real quick, $50 million.
Which actually it shouldn't, because that movie was released several times, whereas
Avatar,
Endgame was not.
Avatar was released twice.
Yeah, twice, and Endgame was not.
And that, yeah. So if they just wait a couple of years, they'll re-release Endgame.
And it could pop up.
Yeah.
Well, it would, I'm sure.
It will.
Especially if they added something to it, you know.
Yeah, a couple of deleted scenes.
Well, the Avatar, they did the 3D release. That was the second release, I believe, was the 3D release.
Yeah, I was trying to see how much Avatar got the second time around.
It wasn't a lot, but it could have been 50 million. 40 million, maybe, still.
I'm trying to see. Because I'm sure, do you remember what year this Avatar was released the second time?
Because
the first one came out in, when did the first Avatar? Avatar came out in 2009.
Okay. So it would have been like 2011, maybe, was the second release, 2010. It wasn't that much longer after it had been out.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But it had been obviously out of the theaters for a while, at least 6 months to a year. So 2010, 2011.
So I'm trying to look and see.
Just type in Avatar re-release, theatrical re-release.
I don't know. I was just looking up on the old Wikipedia. Because I thought, I could have sworn it said on here before. Man, that movie had a $237 million budget.
Yeah.
It had a over $9 million budget for the re-release. What the hell did they oh, because they did the 3D version. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh. Avengers Endgame did pass Avatar. They re-released Avatar again to beat Endgame.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Lame.
In 2021. So March of 2020. March of this year.
That's lame.
Yeah. It says, Avatar reclaims top spot as highest growing film after China re-release.
Hmm.
So they re-released it. So it's been released three fucking times now.
Yeah, that's lame. That's cheating. That should, those second releases shouldn't count towards the overall gross. I mean,
it bank can't wise, overall, but
not
like,
not when you're not when you're trying to gauge like the best, highest grossing movie of all time.
Yes.
In terms of theatrical release.
Yeah, if you just keep re-releasing the fucking thing,
it's gonna
every couple
adding,
of years. Yeah.
So, but yeah. I mean, I guess theoretically they probably did that with the Star Wars movies when they counted in the 97 special edition re-releases.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Adjusted them for the
spot,
but it's hard to say. I don't know.
Yeah, because I could have swore it, or it passed Avatar. Because I remember it, reading about it, but then when I looked up online, I saw Avatar with it. But that makes sense that they released it in China and then it passes.
Right, because it would, yeah. Because it was so close.
Yeah, because I mean, it was.
Because
really
they're
close.
Both over $2 billion, right?
I think they're the only two movies that have ever
crossed the
$2 billion
mark. Yeah. Because Force Awakens was just over $1 billion.
Oh, no, I guess not. There's actually five movies that have crossed $2 billion.
Really?
Avatar, Endgame, Titanic, The Force Awakens, and Infinity War.
Oh. And Disney owns three of those.
That they do. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Infinity War, Star Wars, and... I mean, if it had been a different Star Wars that crossed that, I wouldn't have said that, but...
Look, they, yeah. Then Force look, Awakens then look what's in 5 through 10. Well, sorry. That's... So they own three of the top five. Then look what's 6 through 10. Jurassic World, Lion King, Avengers, Furious 7, which isn't part of Disney, and then the Frozen 2.
Well, Jurassic World isn't Disney either. It's Universal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they own three of the 6 through 10 also. Right. So they own six of the top 10 right. highest grossing movies ever.
Yep. Yeah, that tells you how much dominance they had.
Well, yeah, then after that you got Age of Ultron, Black Panther, Harry Potter, and then Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Yeah, that's Warner Brothers, yeah.
The Last Jedi.
Well, that's Star Wars.
Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Frozen, Beauty and the Beast, Incredibles 2, Fate of the Furious, and then Iron Man 3 to round out the top 20. So Disney owns a vast majority of the top 20
What would you say, about 60, 70% of the top 20 grossing movies of all time? Highest grossing movies of all time? Yeah, owned by Disney?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 13 of the top 20. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a good percentage. What's that percentage off the top of your head, Ian?
It is 65%.
It is. Right on.
I'm pretty good at basic math.
Sometimes.
Most of the time. I actually try to practice math a little bit. Just the basics in my head.
So I will say, since we're talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I have not seen Shang-Chi.
Yep, I haven't either. I'm going to see it. And I've
not seen The Eternals either. So
yeah, I'll wait for Disney Plus.
Hopefully, well, it's on... Well,
it will be.
Shang-Chi's on Disney Plus already. But
yep. So... Some of the things they announced for, they did, I mean, these have been, a lot of these have been announced.
I think they finally gave them dates, release dates.
Not that I can see, but they did first looks. Okay. So kind of like breakdown of like storyboards and stuff like that. So most of it was TV shows. So Hawkeye, which is not out yet, comes out at the end of this month, I believe.
I thought it was coming out. Oh, that is November now, isn't it?
Yeah. So the end of November, Hawkeye comes out. There's supposedly a spinoff of that called Echo.
Yeah.
That they're working on.
Which I think is his daughter.
I don't know the details of it. One of the titles that caught my eye was Spider-Man Freshman Year. Because I thought that meant that was going to be like freshman year of college. So we're moving out of the high school year.
That's a TV series?
But it's an animated TV series. But it is tied to this MCU Peter Parker. So it's probably his origin story, because we didn't really get that with this Peter Parker.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Or it could be a continuation. I don't know, but it just says freshman year and it said it's animated. That's all I read.
Yeah, because he's already in.
He's still in high school.
Well, he is in high school. Yeah. So yeah, I'd be college.
So the other one that I knew they were going to be trying to do something, but this is like the first announcement of it. It's called Agatha House of Harkness.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I knew they were going to do a show with her, but that's, you know, this is the first announcement. I'm looking forward to that, because she was kind of the best character in my...
In WandaVision?
In WandaVision, yeah. But I'm really looking forward to She-Hulk. They did a first look on that.
Ooh, She-Hulk is also... man, there was...
They're incorporating Daredevil into that, I think.
They're also incorporating... Who is the guy that was... That Incredible Hulk fought in the
Abomination.
Movie. Yes, he's
from the movie.
Yeah, Abomination's going to be
Tim Roth's character
is going to be in
She-Hulk.
In She-Hulk.
Yep. So that's I'm looking forward to that. Moon Knight, I don't know much about the character, but I'm kind of curious to see what it's going to be. Oscar Isaac's playing the main character.
What is it?
Moon Knight.
I'm not familiar with
that one. Yeah, I didn't know much about him. But the other one that I'm super excited about is Secret Invasion, because I think that's going to tie into a lot of, not necessarily like Phase 5 stuff, but like side Phase 5 stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if we're going to get to a point where it's just too fucking big. Like, at some point we look at it and go, okay, Marvel, let's narrow it down.
Right. And kind of I was worried about that coming into Endgame and coming out of Endgame. But I think because they're using different formats, they're using the TV series format.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say TV. They're using the streaming service, the streaming series format, and the film and the movies. You can kind of balance those.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do okay for a while. Because they are. They're basically reinventing it at this point. Yeah. Because you're moving on from all these other characters.
But I mean, you're gonna, at some point, you're going to have so many moving parts that you're trying to keep it all
true,
kind of tied together.
But I think as long as they don't go too far astray from where they're at right now,
Yeah. They
should be okay. Because you're right. Before you know it, you've got 30 TV series and you've got 10 movies coming out all in the same year.
Yeah.
At that point, it gets so bogged down.
It's so saturated.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to go that far because I think they're probably going to scale back on the films a bit and focus more on the streaming. Yes, I really do. I think they're going to save the films really just for the big stuff. Like Avengers will get films. They might do a Captain America film.
They are doing.
It wasn't announced.
Yeah,
but,
with Falcon.
Right, yeah. As the new Captain America.
That is happening.
Right. And, I mean, they've got movies coming. So they've got some, I mean, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness I'm super looking forward to. Because
yeah.
I do like the Scarlet Witch character a lot. And then she's going to be playing a big part in that. And I actually like Doctor Strange is one of my favorite of that time frame that came out. Plus, Elizabeth Olsen, for some reason, she kind of makes me tingly.
She's hot.
She is. Way hotter than her sisters.
Yes, absolutely. Her sisters look fucking weird. I don't know.
They're sickly now.
Yeah.
But, I don't think they took very good care of themselves in their 20s, whereas Elizabeth Olsen did.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'd like to see where they go with the Spider-Man stuff, but I'm not sold on the Sony Spider-Man stuff. I have zero interest in Venom and Carnage.
And I
don't know where they're going with that, but I think Sony, the smartest thing Sony could have ever done was let Marvel take care of Spider-Man. And apparently, from what I'm hearing, that's why I was so intrigued by that Spider-Man freshman year, was I was under the impression that Marvel was losing Spider-Man again, back to Sony.
They almost did.
Well, I think after No Way Home, they're supposed to again.
Okay.
That's what I heard. And
I thought they were going to continue doing, I thought they agreed to kind of continue doing the joint venture.
Well, from what I understand, Tom Holland is not coming back for Spider-Man after this one.
Oh, really?
That was what made me think that it was going back to Sony.
He said that he was going to continue. He planned on doing Spider-Man until they told him. Actually, in an interview, he said, "I will be Spider-Man until they tell me I can no longer be Spider-Man."
Oh, well, that's. I mean.
Now, granted, things can change.
Things can change. Because I think, actually, Chris Evans said the same thing about Captain America.
I remember him
saying that. Yeah, he says, "They'll be Captain America until they tell him he can't do it anymore."
They probably told him he couldn't do it.
I don't know. I feel like his story maybe came to the proper end.
I think so.
I don't think they. I think they could have gone further with him.
Yeah, you know? I think it's kind of interesting that they're taking like the thing that really makes me want to see Shang-Chi is I'm trying to remember what it was, but like there was in the first Iron Man movie, there was a reference to the Ten Rings.
Really? I don't remember that.
In Iron Man. I don't remember what it is, though. But
I know there's a reference to Doctor Strange in one of the movies long before there was ever any mention of Doctor Strange coming out.
Let's see if I can Google it. We got to wrap this up here in a second.
Yeah. I don't know. I think going forward, I think Marvel's still on safe grounds. The only problem is we're starting to hear rumblings of some discontent among producers and Disney. Like Kevin Feige might be clashing with Bob Chapek, I think it's his name, the new president of Disney.
Okay.
So, I mean, that kind of stuff will sink a ship faster than anything. You could have three back-to-back bombs before and still be afloat, but you have start having infighting, and your whole
it's gonna blow up real quick.
Yeah, your whole franchise can fall apart. It's partly what I think happened with Star Wars, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Kathleen Kennedy was butting heads too much with all these directors that she hired five movies ahead of time. hiring a director to do a movie 5 years before he's supposed to do it and not have creative differences in the 5 year period is stupid.
Yeah.
So of course you're going to have those issues, and thinking you know better than writers and you're not a writer, that makes a problem too. But that almost, that could have sunk Star Wars like that. It almost did. Look at the shit we got out of it. Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker.
I know there's
people who like them, and I'm
one of them, but
I don't criticize that. I think there was good elements there that were not adequately planned out, and should have been adequately planned out. But yeah, I think going forward, as long as that situation doesn't get out of hand, and hopefully Marvel can hold on to Spider-Man, I think they've got a strong future ahead of them. At least another phase or two before they have to maybe start scaling back.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So I think we're in phase four right now. I think that's what they're calling this. Yep. But they're looking ahead to phase five.
They're probably looking ahead to phase six.
Possibly, but as far as what's been talked about and been publicly, out there. I mean, they haven't announced anything from phase five yet.
No.
Because I think they're still going to do, Marvel or Avengers the Next Generation.
Well, we just found out who the villain is for phase four, so.
Essentially, yeah. I have a feeling they're gonna mix that up a little
bit. No, it's definitely Kang.
Oh, I know it's Kang. I think Kang's going to be there, but I don't think he's going to be the only villain is what I'm saying.
No?
I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think Galactus. We still got Galactus, unless they're holding on to him for phase five.
I think if you would hold on to that, because you don't want to play both of them right now.
Yeah, but the problem is you also don't want to hold Galactus off too far before he's taking on, like, you know, Avengers 3.0, and it's like, you know, these basically new characters, and they're taking on Galactus, you know. Whereas Kang, you can kind of play with.
The thing I look at with the MCU, though, it's like, okay, we got the Eternals now, who are like
I don't think the Eternals are going to play much of a part going forward.
But that's why I'm like, I don't think they will either. But like, okay, when they were fighting like all these other people,
where were they? Well, I think they explain that in the movie. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Neither have I. But
from what I understand, people like the movie, but it's just,
I heard people like,
there are people who hated it. Yeah, yes. There were people who hated it, but there's people who liked it too. So they had gotten,
there were people that like, what was the other really terrible TV series they did that was like the Eternals?
Oh, Inhumans.
Yeah. There were people that liked it.
I never talked to anybody or saw anybody.
I thought it was I couldn't even make it through the first like two or three episodes.
I never even tried. I never watched a single second of it.
Yeah.
Just because I just didn't have the time. I mean, I still haven't finished Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I actually like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So
you haven't finished...
There's a lot I haven't finished.
What was the other big series you're supposed to watch? The
Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still where I left off, beginning of season three.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
No, it was just this year. But still, I got through two seasons, which is a huge improvement because I've been trying to start it since 2015.
Yeah.
And this is the farthest I've gotten so far. They've got that. I've got a couple other shows that I really need to watch.
Yeah.
But I've watched Community twice all the way through.
It's a great
series. I've watched Superstore three times all the way through.
Did you finally finish Superstore?
No, I still haven't watched. I take that back because I keep stopping right before the end because I don't want to. I kind of want to like binge it, but it's like, so it's like I've got three episodes to watch, but I've watched the series through beginning to that part three times.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it ends. But yeah, there's a bunch of shows.
Yeah,
and I keep, like I said, I keep going back to shows that I've watched already. Like the other day,
because they're easy to watch.
The other day I was watching Friends, just random episodes of Friends, and then I was watching random episodes of The Office.
I pick one series, and that's all I watch.
Yeah, I don't have the attention span for that. I really don't. If I get bored even in the middle of an episode, I will stop the episode and go to something else.
I know. I do not.
I can't. I don't like doing that, but I just do it.
The only time I stop an episode is if I have to, like, leave.
Right.
Or, like, I have to turn it off.
Right.
If not, I will finish the episode. Then I'll
move on. It depends. If it's an hour long, if it's not holding my interest after, like, 20 minutes, I'm done. But if it's a half-hour episode, I might just finish it. But still, it's like, I just don't have the attention span because literally you've seen me do this too when we've talked.
I yell at you about it.
Right. But I do it when I'm by myself watching TV. If I end up picking up my phone and watching, going on like TikTok while I'm watching a show,
yeah.
I just turn it off because I'm not watching it.
Yeah, I don't do that. So, like if I'm watching something, I'm watching it.
Right. Yeah. And I try to do that. I really do. But, you know, I just finally watched The Prowler, which is a 40-year-old fucking slasher film that I've never seen before.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it was a Canadian, I think it was Canadian made. But the guy who directed it was the guy who directed Friday the 13th Part 4.
Okay.
So, you know, it's always been a big selling, and Tom Savini did the special effects.
Yeah.
But I just got around to watching that. I've had it forever.
It only took you 40 years.
It only took me 40 years.
So maybe in 40 years you'll finish Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then we can finally have our damn conversation.
But then at that point I have to start House of the Dragon.
Yeah. And the four series that come after that.
And the four series that come after that. That being said, like I was, you know, obviously the Star Wars shows, they come out, I watch them. The Marvel shows come out, I watch them.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Well, if you any questions or comments, you can email us at lifeandgeralpod@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, and that's about it, right?
Yeah.
Well, until next time.
Talk to y'all later.
Yeah, do it with more of a rasp in your voice.
My throat hurts. So
too much talking?
Yeah.
It was a long episode tonight. So.
Yeah, my throat's really dry. So I've been coughing. It's like weird dryness in my throat. But
on that note.
So I don't know if I can get any raspier than that without smoking a bunch of cigarettes or something.
All right, man. Peace.
Bye. Play my role, let me tell you about it. This shit right here, man, I'm proud about it. Only real niggas reside around me. Yo, lady, drop a guard around me. Dip like I know you care, bitch. Show me the ropes like we in the ring. Got the two cobras, you wanna hang. Shoulder to shoulder, the niggas basic. You know I won't lie. You know that I ain't for that fuck shit. You niggas aight, but I'm way better and she love it. Know that y'all sick as fuck. Here go this tissue, bro. We taking the dub, hoping you get you some. This hit like a pick-me-up, she taking my drugs. Know they see the sign, that's some dollar sign. Know they sick as fuck, know they sick as fuck. Tell them get well soon, tell them get well soon. Know you sick as fuck, get well soon. Oh shit, watch out, you the god, Billy Ocean. Swear to God, nigga, this Molly got me up and rolling. These bodies of water. Bring that shit in bottles. We mash at the party. They hate when we styling. Wildin' out of the party.